There is a spirit bubbling inside of me. I call this spirit life. Oh, that's so perfect, because that's what I wanted to talk about today, what it means to be alive. And so I'd like you to just take a moment and take a deep breath and remember what it's like to feel really alive. Remember a moment when you just were exquisitely aware that you were alive and life was good. Can you connect with that feeling sometime, somewhere? What are the qualities of that experience? Can you think of any? What do you feel?
Joy.
Freedom. Joy. What'd you say, Larry?
Exhilaration.
Excitement, enthusiasm, eagerness. Yeah, infinite possibility. There's a place in life where we just stand on the edge and we move forward with exuberance. And feeling alive is such an extraordinary feeling. And there's degrees of feeling alive. Sometimes we can feel very alive when we're peaceful. And we're feeling connected to Source, and we're relaxed, and everything around us is comfortable, and it's just feeling the grace of gratitude for all the blessings that we have. But the exhilarating aspect of feeling alive, looking forward, being enthusiastic. I don't know why, but when I get off the plane in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and I look up at the Grand Tetons, and they're right there. The airport is right at the foot of the mountains. It's incredible. You know, you get off the plane and you take a deep breath of the cooler mountain air after the humid air here. And arriving in Wyoming, I feel alive in such a powerful way. And there's something about the mountain air that makes me feel exhilarated. And all of those experiences of exhilaration and exuberance and opportunity, those make us feel alive. As I've been thinking about life this past month, I've been thinking about the words life and living and alive and how they feel to me, and I started looking them up in Science of Mind textbook and the other writings of Ernest Holmes. And when you look at the things on life, the same thing happens that when you look at the other qualities of God. We've been studying for 16 months now. I looked back. We have been focusing the study group on qualities of God for 16 months. And it was really powerful to me to realize that this is the last of the series that has been going on for 16 months. We've talked about energy, abundance, joy, light, love, intelligence and mind, will and intention, harmony, peace, grace, power, beauty, immortality, freedom, and now life. Isn't that amazing? For 16 months, we've been focused on the qualities of God. And for 16 months, I've come to the same conclusion every month, that we are not looking to create something that is not. We are looking to learn to perceive something that already is in abundance. And in thinking about not only giving this talk on life, but wrapping up this whole 16-month cycle for the study group on the qualities of God, I wanted something to say about that. And I found this quote from Ernest Holmes that I didn't remember ever seeing before. It came from this little tiny book called The Basic Ideas of Science of Mind, which Reverend Hillard gave me recently. And I have modified it for gender inclusiveness, because in the time he was writing, he wrote a lot about man and his, or son and father. And so I shifted it a little bit so that it would be more contemporary. And this is what he said about the qualities of God. He said, "We are the children of God, individualizing all of the qualities of God. According to this spiritual heritage, we have every characteristic of our source: life, love, wisdom, peace, power, beauty, and joy. The more we come to realize our true spiritual nature, the more we will be able to let flow through us and express as our lives. He didn't say in our lives. He said as our lives. The clearer your thoughts are about your real nature, the more you will be able to experience it, and both you and all those about you will benefit. You are an individual and must express your individuality to the fullest extent, but you must always remember your source, God's nature. To the extent that you fail to recognize or express your individuality, to that degree, you will be denying yourself the experience of the joyous attributes of life, God. So proclaim yourself in the highest terms and qualities that you know God to be. The qualities of God. As we turn our awareness to these qualities, to life itself, to light and beauty and grace and peace and power, we are experiencing the life of Spirit as us. In us, through us, and around us, yes, but as us, we are the light. We are the joy. We are the grace. We are the love that God is. And the love that God is shows up in the world to the degree that we love. The light that God is shows up in the world to the degree that we are alive with the radiance and illumination of Spirit, of Source. We are beautiful. The beauty of God expresses to the degree that we know that we are beautiful and are willing to be beautiful and see and appreciate and praise beauty everywhere we go. The harmony of God shows up in life because we are willing to bring that divine energy into all that we do. To be alive, what makes you feel alive? What do you love to do? What grace are you eager to share in your personal life with yourself? What makes you feel alive? We had a meditation class on Wednesday night, and seven extraordinary women gathered in a circle and went deeply into their own hearts and their own experiences, and everyone had a really lovely experience connecting with each other and connecting with Source. And we set our intention for that group at the beginning, and every person in their own way said, I want to have a deeper connection to Source. I want to know the truth about myself more clearly, and I want to see it so that I can bring it back and into my active daily life. So this thing that we do in Science of Mind, of meditation and contemplation and prayer, it's not an end in itself. It's a connection to Source that expands everything that we do. We don't meditate and pray for the sake of God. We meditate and pray to know that that divine life is our life, that we are expressing. We are alive as Spirit right now. We are in Spirit. Spirit is all around us, and it is who we are. We can never escape from that. We can refuse to know it. We can be ignorant of it. But it is the truth of who we are. It always is. We are never separate from God. We are separate in our awareness sometimes from God. But God is always present in all of the fullness of God in each of us. And the light that we shine, the eagerness that we take when we approach life, that's our contribution. We are able to bring that energy of Spirit, that enthusiasm, that exhilaration, that joy into everything we do if we choose that. One of the things that Holmes said, it's on the black background light that's on your brochure. In this thing called life, Holmes said, every act of life should be a magical rite filled with wonder. Every coming event should arouse pleasurable anticipation. Whatever we do, the whole of us should be engaged in doing. The whole of us engaged in doing. Isn't that what feeling alive means? When the whole of you, not just the part of you that feels separate and alone, but the whole of you is the eternal, infinite aspect of yourself. We've talked about freedom and the freedom to choose. We've talked about immortality and the fact that we are infinite and eternal now. It's so strange to think that when you've always thought of yourself as time, temporal and finite, that you have a certain lifespan and then you die and then it's over, and this is what you are. Well, you can think that if you want to. There's nothing that prevents you from thinking that. And a lot of people do think that, and they muddle along just fine. But there is more to know. And as we discover that more to know, as we feel that life within us begin to stir, as that we feel that light begin to radiate, there is just such a thrill to that. I was talking to a woman on the internet the other day. I do a lot of that. I chat with people all over the world, and this woman said, "I'm really having a problem because my friend is in the hospital and she's terminal. And I go to see her and it feels so terrible because it feels like decay to me. I can't relate to her and I want to." And I wrote back to her and I said, "There is more than just the physical body. That is that part of her that you're seeing that isn't looking so good, but there's a part of her that still looks really good. There's a part of her that is eternal and infinite and still resonates with that core energy of love that goes on forever. And if you can access that part, if you, before you go there, prepare and remember and experience that part of her, remember her laughter, remember her light, remember her joy, then you can see, go in wonder, and see what your friend still has to teach you, has to show you, has to love you with. Because that part of who she is hasn't changed and will never change. That part of us just continues to expand and to grow." I don't know why I'm talking about hospitals today, but I went to see a friend in the hospital once who'd just had a terminal diagnosis. I guess I'm talking about life today, and that's coming up. Mm-hmm. And I went in, and I wasn't afraid of her terminal diagnosis. I just said, you know, today is today, and let's laugh. And I started telling her stories about things that were going on that were fun and beautiful, and she was excited, and she was delighted, and she was joyful. And her doctor came into the room, and she looked at him, and she said, "This is the kind of visitor I need. She makes me feel alive instead of dead. Everybody else is focused on dead, but she makes me feel alive." So life is everywhere. There isn't anywhere we can go where life is not. And we can feel our own life everywhere we go, even if what surrounds us isn't clearly lively. We can be lively even in the presence of what doesn't recognize liveliness, because we take it with us everywhere we go. And we can find that beauty, we can find that wonder everywhere we look. In the reading that David chose, the opportunity to see something beautiful happens in every moment. Look around this room and see something beautiful. There's a lot of beautiful faces in this room. There's tremendous beauty in this room. There's also art and flowers and colors and the scarf that Allison is wearing. Those colors are incredibly beautiful to me. They're so lively and graceful. The life that we have, that energy of life is everywhere, and we can increase it in ourselves or we can let it kind of flow away. And one time I was thinking about it, and I was listening to a teacher talking about how we intend our life before we come, that we set up an intention for our life, we think ourselves into being. Does that make sense? Kind of, if you are in non-physical and you decide you want to have a physical life, you sort of think yourself into a physical life. You manifest a form. And so in some way we all chose this life that we are manifesting. And so we thought ourselves into this life. And then we get here, and a lot of people seem to take that energy that they thought themselves into this life and just use it up and die. Have you seen that? You know, they just sort of have this energy stream and they use it up and then they're gone. But there are other people who seem to generate life just by their very living. Their energy increases. Their enthusiasm increases. You know, listen to Gail talk about carnival sometimes and how she dances for days. The energy feeds itself. The life continues to grow. Ernest Holmes said, more light will be given as we use that which we have. And more life will be given as we use that which we have. More energy, more power, more beauty, more grace, more peace, more intelligence, more joy, more abundance. That these qualities of God are infinite. And we use them. And by using them, we generate more of them. We see that enthusiasm in the eyes of the people around us. When did you last laugh uproariously? You know, when did you allow that joy of being to express through you? We did on Wednesday night. Those of you who left early missed a good party, because we stayed until people stayed until like 10:30. The class was over at 8:30. And we laughed and laughed. David was downstairs and he said, all I heard was laughter. All I heard was laughter. Life is good. Life is good. I have a couple of quotes I wanted to share with you. They're pretty wonderful. Harold Whitman said, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive. And then go and do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. People who have come alive. When you're alive, it's contagious. People want to be around people who are alive. Have you ever noticed how attractive it is if somebody is filled with energy and enthusiasm for what they're doing? You want to be a part of what they are doing. Having TM here reminds me, he was talking about the strings on his instruments, and I don't know how to pronounce this name. I'll give it my best shot. Rabindranath Tagore said, I have spent many days stringing and unstringing my instrument while the song I came to sing remains unsung. What song are we here to sing? Get TM to help you string the instrument. He teaches that kind of thing. And Joseph Campbell said, people say that what we're all seeking is a meaning for life. He said, I don't think that's what we're seeking. I think what we're seeking is an experience of being alive, so that our life experiences on the purely physical plane will have resonances with our innermost being and reality, so that we actually feel the rapture of being alive. The rapture of being alive. Can you even imagine the rapture of being alive? I can. I know that 20 years ago, if somebody had said that phrase to me, I would have thought it was BS. But now I feel it. The rapture of being alive is that connection to Source. It's actually putting the energy into life and using it and allowing more to come. It's not setting the intention for life and then allowing the energy to run out. It's creating a life that sustains and supports us, that gives us more energy, that gives us more enthusiasm, that allows us to take ourselves out and do what makes us come alive. So I invite you today to contemplate what makes you come alive. Notice as you go about your week which things actually feel like they're increasing your energy and which ones feel like they're decreasing your energy. And try to include more of the things that increase your energy. Because sometimes it's something very simple. It doesn't have to be the way you spend your work day that increases your energy the most. It can be a hobby, something that you delight in, somebody who lights you up when you have lunch with them. Seek out those people that inspire your life and go do the things that make you feel alive. It's so simple. Flower arranging makes me feel alive.
I get flowers in my hands, and they are so beautiful. And everyone is unique. Do you know that flowers have faces? When I was taking flower arranging classes, the teacher was a master, and he said, every flower has a face, and every face has turned toward the sun. And so there will be a place to put each flower in the arrangement that makes the beauty of its face stand out. So as you arrange your life, how are you placing it so the beauty of your face stands out? How are you presenting yourself so that your aliveness is contagious? Do the things that make you come alive, and you'll feel life more fully. As Gail said, spirit bubbling inside me, I call this spirit life. And so it is.
And so it is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all. Mm-hmm. I love doing this. This gives me life. Makes me come alive. Thank you for allowing me this.